This weekend starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This weekend, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Looking for clues. I'm Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Here's what's coming up this hour.
If you're getting together over the holidays with aging relatives, it might be time to look for signs of their decline. We'll have tips on what to look for.
At the store, supermarkets are using decoys and other tricks to cover gaps on their shelves. Here's some examples.
College students around the country are protesting at certain fraternities, but can their efforts bring a change to Greek life on campus?
And the best and worst states for drivers, with California being at the bottom.
Well, I think what California really highlights is what we've known all along. These states that are really densely populated and expensive, they bring a lot of frustration and a lot of costs for drivers. And we saw that with California. It had the highest gasoline prices. It was about 1.4 times the national average, had the highest cost of auto repairs, seventh highest auto insurance premium.
Sarah Foster at Bankrate.com examines new data from states about driving. Well, everyone knows that the labor crunch can mean headaches for customers, but understaffing is also a major problem for retail workers. Anya Kane, senior reporter at Insider, spoke with retail workers who say they've had to take on more tasks due to understaffing. Anya, what did you come up with?
I was really looking with this piece to sort of highlight what's going on the worker side with this labor crunch, right? We've heard about how it affects consumers. We've heard about how it affects employers. But for the folks who are still on the ground at some of these retailers, what's going on with them? So some of the takeaways, people are very stressed at some of these stores. Their roles are being changed. They're being asked to do more or different things. And, I sort of think that there may be a perception among some that, okay, well, these are all retail service, low-skilled jobs, so, you know, interchangeable, right? And my take is absolutely not. It takes a very different skill set to work the cash register and connect with, you know, different customers than it does to stock the back room and kind of keep everything organized. So when basically more work is being piled onto these employees and different work, and they're being asked to do different tasks, like train new workers while they're working, you know, It leads to a more stressful environment.
All right. So I know some of the workers maybe changed their names or whatever for the story. This Terry from Whole Foods, what did this employee go through?
Yes, Terry, I did give him a pseudonym, but I did verify his connection to his employment with Whole Foods, of course. He is going through basically, you know, he's typically a produce guy. He works in the produce section there, making sure everything looks nice, making sure everything's running smoothly there. He's been tasked with everything from like cleaning carts outside in the freezing winter to basically like having to do tasks that would normally be done by the overnight shift, you know, moving pallets, stuff like that. And I think his feeling is that it's just in a stressful environment. It adds stress, and it's sort of like, I didn't sign on for this. I'm happy to help, but there's a point where it's like, is my job just changing forever now? Like, what's the end game here? You know, I think if it was a temporary thing for a lot of these workers, they would see it as sort of like, okay, I can pitch in once in a while and help with this new task. But I mean, it's just what is the end in sight? I think a lot of them feel that it is not.
We're speaking with Anya Kane, senior reporter at Insider. Her piece is called Frustrated Retail Workers Say They're Getting Overloaded with Work Due to Chronic Understaffing. Part of me, as I was reading it, is going, oh, come on, suck it up. You know, a lot of people have to cover for others. But then I started to think, too, this is a concern for the employer as well, because you don't want to be losing employees, because they're stressed out over things like this. And then, you know, just creating a cascade of events.
Yeah, that's a really good point, right? Because this is, for the employer's perspective, this is sort of a retention issue, right? When an employee feels like they have a way forward within the company where they can grow, learn, dedicate themselves to a specific company, you know, even within retail and the service industry, you know, it's a situation where they feel the loyalty goes up, the morale goes up, right? But when they feel like they've been sort of shuffled around the board and are sort of not getting any clear information and almost being treated like an interchangeable cog within the machine, I think morale sort of plummets and people start looking elsewhere, frankly.
How about Isabella Burrows from PetSmart? What's she been going through?
Isabella Burrows from PetSmart told me about a situation where she was basically sort of expected to do two things at once, man the phones and also check people out. And I think any of us who've had an important phone call or been talking to someone on the phone while they're trying to do something like, you know, check people out, where you sort of have to be focused on what you're doing and, you know, attentive to those customers, can understand how stressful that might be. And I think that stuff like situations like that are maybe not completely unheard of in retail in normal times. Like, stuff happens, right? There's sometimes a crunch, but I think it's just happening more and more. And it's the frequency that's sort of the issue here of like, this is just the new normal now. This is very stressful. How do I deal with it?
Yeah. Did the companies offer any kind of response based on what the workers told you?
Yeah, most of the companies came through with a response. And what I was sort of hearing, and of course, we always want to get the company side of it and sort of get their perspective as well. I sort of heard a lot of, well, we're hiring a lot of people, right? Like, we're, you know, we still have open positions that we're trying to fill. So, you know, it's not like we're just, you know, sort of stuck here. And I think, you know, that's very true, right? Walmart's hiring a ton of people, you know, in this holiday season, and the other retailers are as well. But I think the difference is, you know, it's one thing to be saying you're hiring thousands of people across the board, and a situation still might be a little bit different within a specific store.
Thanks, Anya. Anya Kane, senior reporter at Insider. Coming up next, looking for signs of decline among elderly relatives this holiday season. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. If you'll be spending time with elderly relatives during the holidays, you may need to be on the lookout for some decline. What to watch for? From this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka.
During the holidays, many of us will travel to visit loved ones we haven't seen in some time. But for some, the holiday cheer will be dampened by noticing for the first time that an aging parent is beginning to struggle. Joining us with more is Lori Williams, founder of a Dallas-Fort Worth-based business that helps find housing so seniors can live as independently as possible. Lori, what physical signs should we look for when dealing with our older relatives and friends?
Well, definitely it's going to be what you see when you first arrive at their door. So if you notice that they're looking more frail, if you're noticing with their physical appearance that maybe they're not dressed like they normally would be, perhaps in pajamas, doesn't look like they're maintaining, you know, having their hair cut and clean. Also, any kind of like emotional well-being things that you're noticing, that maybe they seem more depressed or anxious, or they're quieter than normal, some short-term memory loss, anything like that is going to be a clue that something's not quite right.
If traveling to their home, what do you look for in the home that's not an individual thing?
When in their home, look to see, like, if they were normally, you know, kept the house perfectly clean and suddenly it looks very cluttered, you want to, you know, observe that for sure as a sign. Also, looking in the kitchen for moldy food, expired food, really take a look at cookware, because we notice a lot of times if we turn over a pot and see that the bottom of it is scorched, that's a good indication that perhaps they have some dementia and are forgetting food cooking on the stove, which is, you know, a hazard. But just, you know, really take a look at their environment. If you see a lot of changes, you don't see good food there for them, like I said, or just a lot of the same kind of snack foods bought over and over again, that's a clue something's going on.
Lori, what might be some clues that your parents or older friends have memory issues when you talk to them?
Definitely repeating themselves. Isolating is a big one. If your parent or friend was very active, maybe with their church or with social groups, and suddenly they've become withdrawn. They don't want to come out, and because they sense something is going on. A lot of times, we also see when it's a couple, one will cover for the other, which makes it very difficult when you're visiting family out of state. You may not know the true condition because dad may be covering up for mom's memory loss.
We're speaking with Lori Williams, founder of a Dallas-based business that helps find housing so seniors can live as independently as they possibly can. Lori, how do you check things like finances or ask questions without being intrusive or upsetting that person?
So it can be a difficult thing. What we recommend is, if your parents, have these conversations ahead of time before there is an issue, if possible. And understanding that a lot of times our seniors don't want to share that information with us. But if you have an idea beforehand, you can be proactive. And it's always best to be proactive. But it's good to ask them what do you have a long-term care policy? Kind of what is your Social Security? Is your house paid off? See if you can get at least some information on what's going on with them financially. So if something happens and suddenly you're a 911 situation and you have to find housing or resources for them, you'll have an idea of what their income is.
One of the most difficult tasks that adult children often get stuck with is taking the keys away and trying to make a parent or an older person not drive. Do you have any tips for doing that without angering the person?
Yes, that is a tough one because it's that last piece of independence and they don't like giving up the keys, especially the gentleman. So if you notice that the car has dings, if you're noticing certain things going on and maybe dad has gotten lost or there's just some clues, you really have to have that conversation. The best way to do it to keep them from being angry at you is to involve their physician and put it on the doctor to say, you know what, it's time for you to give up driving. So that kind of pulls you out of the mix and they're not going to be angry with you. So that's usually the best way to kind of get that rolling.
That's this weekend's Jennifer Koshenka with Lori Williams, founder and owner of Lori Williams Senior Services in the Dallas area. Coming up next, out of stock warnings. So the year plus of remote meetings is ending, right? Time to get back to the office. So about that beard. If you've realized the scruffy look that worked on a webcam isn't fitting the all business look you're trying to get back to, don't worry. Harry's can help. Harry's crafts high-quality, long-lasting blades and durable weighted handles that make a close, comfortable shave quick and, believe it or not, enjoyable. And refill blades start as low as $2. New customers can get started with Harry's with a starter set, a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover, usually $13 for just $3. The starter set and the incredibly close shave convinced me right away to switch to Harry's. I've been using Harry's for years. I think you'll love it too. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. harrys.com/deal to get the special offer. HARRYS. harrys.com/deal. Hey, glad you're with us. You may be seeing this now, out of stock warnings online as you try to shop, but experts say that won't discourage us from opening our wallets to buy gifts for loved ones. In October alone, Adobe says online shoppers saw more than 2 billion out of stock messages. On top of that, we've launched our holiday shopping earlier than ever. More from tech analyst Rob Enderle, founder of The Enderle Group. Rob, what about out of stock messages?
Well, it's pretty bad. They're spending 72.4 billion online in October, which is an 8% increase, and we're already seeing shortages. People clearly have seen all those container ships stuck offshore. They're trying to unload them, but those container ships need to be unloaded. They need to be taken to a facility where the container is unloaded. And then the inventory needs to be taken off the containers and then put into a warehouse where they're then distributed and have to be shipped out. And that takes several weeks. And so as we approach Thanksgiving, for those that want gifts, even for things that have arrived in country, by Christmas, the window to get them is closing rapidly, and there aren't enough of them to begin with. So so we're expecting prices to increase and shortages to increase as well.
Jeez, I was surprised because Walmart, during its call, its earnings call, said, "Yep, sales are up, and there's plenty of merchandise, and people will get what they want." And I thought,
"Well, now." Wow. But the issue is going to be, as we get past Thanksgiving, the shortages are going to increase. And we know that a lot of product categories, they haven't been able to build them because of the chip shortage. We were watching the automotive market in particular, and granted, people don't give cars as much for Christmas. Yeah. But that same shortage is impacting everything that uses a processor. And so we've got manufacturing shortfalls as well. Large vendors like Amazon and Walmart are probably in the best shape only because they tend to buy and lock up inventory really early, and they buy in such volumes that nobody wants to mess with them in terms of not delivering what's been promised, because that these companies are litigious, and also they represent a material amount of sales for whoever the supplier is. The smaller stores and operations are already reporting they're having serious problems getting inventory as they're trying to ramp up for Christmas. There's some things you're just not going to be able to get.
We're speaking with Rob Enderle, founder and principal analyst of the Enderle Group, and we're talking about, will out-of-stock signs discourage online shoppers this holiday season? The answer appears to be no. You were quoted in an article on ecommercetimes.com, which said you anticipate things will get better late 2022 or 2023. But when you say get better, do you mean like fully fixed and back to the way things used to be before the pandemic, or just better than they are right now?
Fully fixed. The issue was that during the pandemic, a lot of the companies that were building complex products, including automobiles, cut well back on their forecast. They expected that the sales were going to crater, and they didn't want to have excess inventory. And as a result, a lot of manufacturing lines were cut over to other things because factories have to keep working. You just because you're not getting orders from one customer doesn't mean, hey, we'll send everybody home and we'll have a 6-month paid vacation. No, factories have to stay working. And so they converted the lines to things that were being ordered and carried through. Well, that sales shortfall really didn't occur. And so inventories were consumed, and then these companies started ordering these parts again. Well, they no longer had a place in the line because those lines had been shifted over to other folks that didn't report those shortages and didn't cut back on their inventories. So the result is we now have to convert a lot of manufacturing capacity back over to where they were before the pandemic, and that takes time. One, because they're making that new stuff. And so it's not like you can say, hey, we're going to stop serving these new customers. We're going to go back to the old ones. That's not going to work. They have to build new factories, put up new lines. And to complicate all of this is, where are you going to put them? China's under a cloud from the Western world, with sanctions and flat on blockage of sales. Taiwan's under a cloud because they're under threat from China. So folks don't really want to ramp up manufacturing there for fear that a war or conflict is going to start those problems. And then we have hotspots coming up all over the place with regard to the pandemic that are causing these companies to rethink where they even want to build these factories. So it's creating a huge problem with regard to the pivot, because there are a lot of things that have to happen before you can bring these factories up that haven't happened yet.
Thanks, Rob. Rob Enderle, principal analyst at the Enderle Group. 30 minutes now after the hour. On This Weekend, apply for a loan with a bank and you might get free coffee. But Marcus by Goldman Sachs offers personal loans with no fees, ever. So consolidate debt with a no-fee personal loan from Marcus by Goldman Sachs, or get free coffee. Go to marcus.com to learn more about our no-fee personal loans and other products today. Lending and deposits provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka coming up this half hour. College students protesting fraternities over sexual violence. Also, the worst state for drivers. Plus, supermarkets using decoys. And on the food front, purists object to variations of paella. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes.
Well, a fresh wave of student protesting has catalyzed around fraternities with members that have been accused of sexual assault. The protest started with the beginning of the fall semester at large public universities such as the University of Iowa, University of Nebraska, University of Kansas, University of Massachusetts. The movement has since spread to campuses in states including Alabama, California, Mississippi, and New York. Chris Quintana, education reporter at USA Today, says college students protest frequently without incident or news coverage, but the demonstrations at Greek chapters across the country have stood out for their frequency and fervor. Chris, take us through it.
Yeah, so, you know, this is the sort of thing where maybe you saw it locally, but there's this sort of national context. Across the country, students are protesting fraternities. You know, it's not any one specific chapter, although there are some fraternities that kind of come up more often than others. But they're responding to allegations of sexual violence on their campuses, and they're coming out in really big numbers. And in some of these cases, the protests have been hundreds strong. You know, in Northwestern, in Evanston, I think they were saying somewhere around 2,000. So this has been going on for the last couple of months, and it's, you know, happening at private, public, large, and small campuses across the country.
Wow. How prevalent are sexual violence cases on our campuses?
You know, that's a little hard to track down just because of the hesitancy with reporting these cases. You know, it can be a real challenge for victims to go through the Title IX process on campuses or even report to law enforcement. But the Rape, Abuse, and Incest and Abuse National Network, estimates about 1 in 4 college women have reported that they were assaulted as an undergraduate. So, and those usually take place in the first 4 months of the semester.
You know, I never considered the movement, I guess, can be tricky, as you point out in the story, because sometimes the students move on, right? They graduate, so they're no longer on campus. So maybe sometimes these things lose steam.
Yeah, they sort of, it's cyclical, right? Like, so a few years ago, the headline that was really big in this space was abolish Greek life, right? Like you saw this at some smaller liberal arts campuses and you know, eventually at some larger campuses as well. But yeah, there is a lot of churn associated with these sort of protests. But you know, students are starting to have a longer memory here. A lot of the protests we're seeing are from students who have noticed problematic behavior on fraternities on their campus for either years or months and mentioned it to their administration and didn't see any action. So we're seeing the protests now, but this is something that has been building for quite a while.
We're speaking with Chris Quintana, national education reporter at USA Today. His piece is called College Students Are Protesting Fraternities Over Sexual Violence. Will Greek Life Change? What is it that the protesters actually want? Just for accountability?
Yeah, so it, you know, it depends on kind of the protest and the location, but broadly they're pushing for like a cultural change, right? Like I think there is a habit for universities to issue statements and say that we're going to address this sort of thing is going to happen, and you know, students don't see any responses as a result of that. So what's interesting about these protests is, you know, it's really focused on kind of like the culture around sexual assault, and a lot of the protests are focused on, you know, consent, but also on calling out fraternity members who aren't, or you know, have not committed violence, but who may be aware of it, right? They're pushing them to hold their peers accountable, and so that's part of what is being asked for. And broadly, it's also just they want more response from the university itself, right?
Yeah. There was kind of a breakout section in your piece where you asked the question: are fraternities the problem? What's the answer?
You know, I think that's a different, people have different answers to that question. But I talked with Judd Horace. He's in charge of the North American Interfraternity Conference, and that's a group of, you know, 57 national fraternities. And you know, he says that obviously they're against sexual assault, and you know, they want to work with the protesters to address it. I think some of the frustrations there are, you know, they feel like If a fraternity does the appropriate things and, you know, reports a member or you know, expels them even for, you know, misconduct, they still kind of are the subject of protests. And so I think that's a challenge for them and something that they're trying to grapple with.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Quintana, national education reporter at USA Today. Coming up next, the best and worst states for drivers. Isn't fine print annoying? Every big wireless provider has it. That's where they always hide the catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch? Turns out there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. No retail stores means no crazy overhead costs that sneak onto your bill as mystery fees. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone and keep your same number with all your existing contacts. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile's 7-day money-back guarantee has you covered. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, visit mintmobile.com/Gordon. That's mintmobile.com/Gordon. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. A new report from Bankrate.com has identified the best and worst states for drivers. Are you among the privileged motorists or not? More from analyst Sarah Foster. Sarah, what are the factors?
So we looked at all 50 states and we analyzed them based on four factors. Number one, we looked at cost, which was the biggest component of our research. So that includes average cost of a car repair, auto insurance, gas, you know, all these things that are very important for us when we want to get behind the wheel. The other three components were safety, driving quality, and weather. So when we think about safety, we thought about DUI arrests per population, also things like, you know, the chances of colliding with wildlife if you're living in maybe a more secluded state. Driving quality includes poor bridges, road conditions, and then weather, of course. If you're driving in the middle of a snowstorm, that doesn't really bode well for us behind the wheel.
California ranked as the worst state for drivers. Explain, I guess, where they ranked in terms of those factors.
Yeah. Well, I think what California really highlights is what we've known all along. These states that are really densely populated and expensive, they bring a lot of frustration and a lot of costs for drivers. And we saw that with California. It had the highest gasoline prices. It was about 1.4 times the national average, had the highest cost of auto repairs, seventh highest auto insurance premium. So, you know, these people who are spending a lot of time behind the wheel, they're having to pay a lot of money as well to operate the car. And then we also saw, you know, since it's so congested, we saw that it had the fifth longest average commute time in the country. So I think what this really shows here is that according to our research, you might be having a really good drive thanks to California being the fourth best state for weather.
Right.
You're probably dealing with a lot of frustrations if you're someone who has to drive everywhere.
Wow. All right. So if you talk about congestion, I think Northeast also, right? Where I am in New Jersey or maybe New York, but they didn't make the worst five. And in fact, Louisiana was second to last. What worked against Louisiana?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, also being a New York resident, I found that very surprising that it wasn't in the bottom five. But with Louisiana, I think it was kind of similar of kind of conditions here that really led to its downfall. Drivers have the highest auto insurance premium in the state, the 20th highest cost of an auto repair. But I think what really kind of knocked Louisiana down is it's the 14th worst state for driving quality. A real high percentage of roads are in poor condition. In fact, they were the 13th worst in the country.
Wow.
The 17th longest average commute time. Drivers are on average having to spend about 27 minutes behind the wheel on their commute. So I think when you look at Louisiana, you might not really be in one of those states that's notoriously known for being poor for drivers, but you're really having to make a lot of trade-offs here if you're someone who's spending a lot of time behind the wheel.
We're speaking with Sarah Foster, analyst at Bankrate.com. They found the best and worst states for drivers. So the worst five: Colorado, Rhode Island, Maryland, Louisiana second to last, and California dead last in terms of worst states for drivers. How about the best states?
Yeah, so I think if you're someone who lives in the Midwest, you have a pretty easy, at least compared to those individuals who live in California and the rest of the Northeast. Ohio was our best ranking state for drivers, mostly because it's pretty cheap to afford driving a car, to afford fixing a car. It's also pretty well for safety and relatively safe compared to the rest of the country. But I think what really knocked Ohio here and kind of illustrates what we've been talking about all along, you know, these trade-offs that drivers have to make when they're deciding where they want to live, It was kind of middle of the road for driving quality and 13th worst for weather. So I'm someone who's from Illinois, which is also in the Midwest, and I think we see, you know, a lot of snowstorms, a lot of crazy weather conditions that all kind of add to really making the driving experience a little more frustrating, but still, at least you have a relatively low cost of affording.
Thanks, Sarah. Sarah Foster, analyst at Bankrate.com. Coming up next, how stores cover gaps on their shelves. Guys, the days of wearing uncomfortable business attire are over, but that's a good thing. You don't have to sacrifice style for comfort thanks to Cuts Clothing. I love their stuff. I've worn my Cuts shirts with pretty much anything from shorts and sandals to suit jackets. They've stayed soft and comfortable, and they look great. They've got an exclusive collection perfect for any occasion or season. Polos, bomber jackets, joggers, and more. There's never been a better time to try Cuts Clothing. They're kicking off the holiday sale season early with 30% off site-wide now through December 3rd. And you know you want to order early this year. Shipageddon 2021 is coming. In preparation, Cuts is starting their sale season early for you with 30% off site-wide starting November 9th so you can have worry-free holiday shopping. Head over to CutsClothing.com today to get 30% off site-wide through December 3rd and upgrade your wardrobe with their world-famous shirts, joggers, or their all-new outerwear. That's C-U-T-S, CutsClothing.com. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. While chaos reigns in supply chains, grocery stores are trying to present an appealing and seemingly organized front for customers. Wall Street Journal reporter Katie Dayton says to do so, some are turning to age-old tricks of the trade and developing new ones to cover up gaps on the shelves. Katie, what have you seen?
So as many of your listeners might have noticed, there were a few gaps appearing in grocery store shelves. That could be through, well, it's largely due to the global supply chain crisis. In the UK, it's particularly bad. The big supermarkets there are experiencing, anecdotally at least, big gaps on their shelves. And there's a number of reasons for that. Obviously, the biggest is the supply chain crisis. In the UK, we also have a big trucker shortage and stuff's just not getting onto shelves. So supermarkets are trying to, don't want this to look like they've been decimated in terms of, you know, what's coming in, so, or, you know, look like they're incompetent in some way. So they're trying to find ways to make it look like there aren't any very obvious gaps on shelves when in fact the products aren't actually there.
All right. So one of the ways you said these stores are moving products to unlikely places in a store, like what?
Yes. So I think the funniest one that I've seen has been a load of ketchup. Well, not ketchup. It was a HP sauce, which is a British brown sauce, and sour cream, which is like a type of mayonnaise, being stored in fridges. I mean, this is stuff that can very safely be stored on shelves, and usually is. A company in Chicago has been, storing different types of milk, not cow milk, so oat milk and soy milk, which also are usually just stacked on shelves. They don't need to be refrigerated. They're going into fridges, as well as tofu, which can also be in on the shelf. So where they've got problems with the fridge, when stuff's not coming in that's refrigerated, they're just picking out different items and, you know, that could be cooled but don't have to be cooled, and using them to fill in the spaces.
We're speaking with Katie Dayton, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Supermarkets Alter Layouts and Use Decoys to Fill Gaps Left by Shortages. I guess these cardboard dummies or placeholders, they qualify as decoys?
Yes. Placeholders, some of them are pretty obvious. They're just large signs that say, hey, like, this is coming in, bear with us. Some are, you might say, use a little bit of an amount of trickery in that they are a photo of the item that should be on the shelf. And from a distance, it might make it look like the shelf or the box is full. And when you get there, you realize it's simply a cardboard cutout of the thing you expected. Now, like this use of these isn't necessarily to trick customers. It's operational as well as a customer experience kind of tactic. If you can board up an area, that stops people from ditching their items in their baskets that they don't want on the at the wrong place. It makes it very clear to customers that the shop is out of something.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Dayton, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, don't mess with paella. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 50% off during their Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business, plus get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Well, finally, the international popularity of paella is booming. Chefs and home cooks around the world have developed their own variations on the Spanish rice dish, and it has its own emoji. But does it belong on pizza? At least one New York City restaurant thinks it does. But purists fear all the attention is perverting traditional paella. Traditional paella's list of acceptable ingredients is limited. Rice, vegetables, chicken, rabbit, or seafood. No chorizo, no onions. Purists argue that unofficial additions turn paella simply into a plate of rice with stuff. In traditional recipes, meat and fish cannot be mixed. Valencian paella has chicken, rabbit, and some vegetables, such as green beans or butter beans. There are different versions of seafood paella, usually without vegetables. Wiki Paella, a website founded by three Valencians, says restaurants can apply to have their versions certified if the group determines the dish has been cooked following the traditional recipe. Wiki Paella promotes authentic paella and promises to publicly report any transgressions committed against paella. You don't want to visit, I guess, from the paella police. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Weekend.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.